And we are on FedBytes once more. With me is Leo.
Hello, everyone. What's up? What's up?
And we have a very special guest today. We have Alon Vlaji with us. What's up, Alon?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Leo, my brother from another mother.
My brother, what's up, man? I miss you, man. Although people don't know, we're in the same room. Yeah, of course. But
of course,
I miss you. Now I'm in New York. You guys are in Tel Aviv, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. We tried to actually be in the same room when we're recording this, but you know, technical difficulties and all.
Yeah. So you guys are in the same building, the same. Okay, that's so awesome. I want that.
So, how about first just to get our audience set, Alon. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you know Leo, how you know us. What have you been doing?
Okay, so about myself, like Simon Sinek says, always start with the why. So it's feel like my purpose in life is to make developer happy. And wherever I go, this is the main purpose of mine. Not just to make great products, but also to make the developers and other stakeholders also happy, very happy. And by doing so, I managed to achieve success in what I do, that is hands-on consulting to tech companies via Tikal. And Tikal is a great company that is some kind of technological house, technological home. It's the more, I think it's the more appropriate definition, because you feel like home in here. We have like a 2080 model that 20% of the time is empowering yourself with courses, with developer roadmap, with learning new stuff, even contributing to the community and stuff like that. So, and in the other 80%, we want to help other companies and really help them to achieve what they are designing using 5 open source domains, such as JavaScript, DevOps, backend, like data and stuff like that, mobile and DevOps. Oh, I said DevOps already? I
don't know. So yes. Twice, it's important, right?
Twice, yes, it's very important.
And, so how long have you been in the dev scene? Forget about that. How long have you been clickety-clackety on the computer?
So since I was 14 years old, I started. But it was very weird because the screen was a green screen. There wasn't anything to do. No internet, nothing. And 98 was, I think, it's the time I saw that the internet is starting to be something. So you can go inside and you can download whichever song you want. This blew my mind. Like I can listen to any song in the universe.
Yeah, Napster.
Until then, Napster, and then later on, like Rhapsody and whatever come next. I don't know.
It was Kazaa.
But Napster, yes.
Yeah.
So I guess the BBS scene, it wasn't for you, I think. You came later.
Yeah.
The BBS.
The BBS was there, but I wasn't in that scene. Okay, I wasn't in that scene. I was already 24 years old in 98. And I was a little bit bigger older to be in that scene. But I really impressed about HTML and to build website. I saw how easy it was and I was sucked in. And my first project was in the late 98 for money. I got paid $3,000 to build like a portal for a travel agency here in Israel.
Isn't it the same portal that now the government wants to do? They want to do the same thing in 2023. They want to do a portal.
Yeah. I think a lot of stuff that I did then is becoming again here now. But this was the start of my trip. And in 2014, I started to work in Tikal and focus more in helping really developers and companies to achieve their goals in the product and build great products. And also, I took a little bit role in the Israeli community in JavaScript Israel. I'm leading the content. I'm trying to help with open source and help. I like to empower junior devs and to help them. I always like that I have at least one junior dev in my team. And this is my trip. Leo, I met in Sisense. I was stationed in Sisense in 2017, I think, or 2018. And we've met there. And we even made a joint meetup there also.
Yes. And if I can say, Alon is one of the best live coders that I saw in my life. I mean, you know, usually you don't do live coding because it's like, it's a no-no. It's like something is going to get wrong. Someone's going to ask you something and you're going to be out of focus and you're going to miss something. Alon is incredible. Since I met Alon, he was doing live coding like nothing. And, you know, and it's not like, you know, hello world shit. It was like complete applications, amazing, from scratch. I always loved Alon doing that. And also I worked with him, and it's incredible how a person can be so friendly and doing things so complicated and make them so easy. So I removed my hat.
Thank you. Hat tips.
Always
cool.
Regular.
So now that we finished this family reunion, we can keep on going and talk about what we want to talk about, right? So the reason kind of I asked you on the show, Alon, is I know that you're about to give a talk, right? What is it, next week or 2 weeks from now? I can't remember when, but I saw it was
Sunday.
About Sunday. Well, mm-hmm. You know, whenever we release this and whenever they hear it, doesn't matter. Some Sunday. But the talk you're going to give is about building components, right? Building a component library using, what was it? Tailwind and?
Yeah, the lecture will focus on using Tailwind, Radix, and I forgot what it was, the third thing?
ChatCS?
CVA. CVA.
Oh,
CVA.
CVA.
No. The entire talk is spoiler, but it's not really spoiler because one who will hear the podcast, it will be long after, I think, the lecture. But it's a build up for ChatCN. It's like ChatCN, the creator of ChatCN, it's like he read my mind. It's like I'm doing the same thing he put in his, it's not a library, it's a common patterns to use. So the same thing that he used, he compiled, it's like my life, my actual work when I go to companies.
Oh, maybe it's good to kind of define what ChatCN is and how, like, what is the approach he's taken towards. So just let me start with what I know about ChatCN. I've just went over their site a few times. Like, I've seen the buzz on Twitter. I know that the creator and the author was just hired at Vercel to kind of bring ChatCN UI into Vercel. And what I know is that it is a component library that is built upon Tailwind, and it uses a class variant authority, like you said, CVA, which is kind of similar to what you're talking about. But it doesn't mean the way you use the library is not by NPM installing it, but rather scaffolding and using a CLI tool to kind of generate components that go inside your project. Correct me if I'm missing something.
Exactly.
Why this cool. is good.
Let's start with that.
So I think when we come to building a component library, usually, and again, I'm going with Simon Sinek, starting with why. It's a great book, by the way. If no one heard that, and no one saw the TED Talk about starting with why, so it's like starting with why, it's understanding what's your purpose. What's your vision? What's your cause? Not to make money or not to do something. And Simon Sinek put the golden rings or golden circles that said we have three circles with the why in the innermost circle. Then we have the how, and in the outer we have the what. And most companies, when they're focusing on the what. Okay, what we need? We need the component library. Okay, we take the
or they say a design system, right?
There's yeah, also the, a mix-up. We need a design system. We take the we take a material UI, and we take our hammer and we bang on material UI until we have a design system. Yeah, starting with why, this great book. So and how we do it? Like we said, we take the hammer and the material UI and we do it, but. Why are we doing it? Why do we need a component library? So it's like asking, for example, take a chef of a restaurant, okay? A chef of a restaurant, why is he cooking? Okay, why is he cooking? He's cooking because he wants to inspire people. He wants to let them feel that they're experiencing something unique. Yeah. And how he does it, he does it by using his own ingredients. Maybe he raising that, maybe he buy in the market, and he compile his own recipes, okay? So now the what is not really relevant because people will come to eat. It doesn't matter what he cooks, okay? But if we said what we want to eat, we want to eat pasta, and we go and we take a pasta out of a canned pasta, ready-made pasta from a can. No chef is cooking from a canned boxes, okay? No one compiled from ready-made ingredient, yes? So although we need to understand.
I did see there is this guy on Iron Chef that does like take like spam and stuff and make gourmet dishes out of it. But yeah, sorry if to ruin your analogy. Keep going, sorry.
No, it's really good. It doesn't say that you cannot use one ingredient to put something that is special, that is something is uniquely for you. But you won't take a ready-made pasta of Knorr and you serve it in your restaurant, okay? And this is basically to take material UI or React Material UI or to take Mantis or take, I don't know, the other stuff, the other component library.
And design. Or Chakra. Yes. Or chakra, whatever. Angular or Bulma.
Yeah, and you don't, and you cannot, and if you are a product company, you cannot took a Adobe design system or GitHub design system, or even Vercel design system and make your own, okay? You need to ask what you want, what you want to give to your user, okay?
Yeah, so but you don't if think you that we are getting, you know, we're complicating things even more. In the past, you know, we started using just CSS, then we start using components, and then with the components era, I mean, begin this world of libraries using CSS that it was so, you know, even I remember in years ago, I talked with Tom Aquino, you know, from Facebook, and I asked him what CSS library or what is their approach to CSS? He didn't tell.
They have no approach.
Yeah. Facebook never say what is the CSS preference. And that was always for me a really good question. And that's why we start the project and it's like, okay, what are we going to use? It's like we don't even know. We don't know.
Yeah, but
I know what I don't like. And right. I don't like Tailwind. I understand why we use Tailwind, but I hate, you know, the classes. I mean, I don't like
it. But that's
what I'm saying. But I totally. But
something I think we completely ignored in like this whole few minutes is also the fact that there is this whole conversation that also happens between developers and designers, right? Because who wants something unique? Who wants something that developers are lazy. They're like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just slap on Material UI and build a product, right? Because it'll make me move faster. But then obviously a brand or a product wants to have a brand and they want to have their unique look and feel. And they want to have like some sort of different UX or whatever. And then the designer comes in and starts like making up shit and like taking best practices. And for me, right? The weirdest thing is like we have a platform, right? Browsers work. HTML has most of the things we need to kind of interact with web pages. And the question I kind of come back to is why like this? Like, why have we come to this state, right? We're 2023. Yeah. There are so many component libraries, specifically in the React ecosystem. And I asked myself, I remember like back, what was it, 7-8 years ago when Polymer came out and like web components were going to change the game, right? Everybody said, oh, this is going to be the thing. You're going to be able to have a fucking carousel that's an HTML component and everybody can use that. And it'll be good and ready and main. But yeah. What? You know, yeah. And look.
So let me try to start with Leo's question. Are we complicating stuff? Really? Are we complicating or have we evolved? Because when we started to code in 98, when I started, it was HTML4. It was very simple. You don't have a lot. It was CSS1. Okay. You could style very basic stuff. Okay. You usually present a document, like a Word document. It's a markup. Okay. You want a little bit interactivity? Okay, you sprinkle a little bit JavaScript. It was JavaScript 1.1. Very simple, not complicated, but we evolved. We have a lot of more needs today. We have complicated application. We have complicated user experience. And then going to what you said, Yoav, that the company, you said the designer want to customize the look and feel. This is the list that he want. He want to build something new. The product companies want to build something that no one builds before. So you cannot take material UI because first of all, you are clashing with the designer. And secondly, you are clashing with the product. So you cannot build something new with something that already existing, but you can build something new if you have primitives. If you have primitives, you can compose something new. So my guidelines for building a library. So first of all, it should be reusable. It should be very intuitive and minimal API. It should be composable. Yes. It should be stylable or customizable with the look and feel. And then after it, maybe it should be accessible. Okay. And it should be like, I don't know, something that you can maintain it. So if you look about how to build design system using atomic design, it's how you build incrementally a design system without knowing everything, without a waterfall. So it's like an agile method to building a design system. But still, if you going to this basic, you will have a good library, a good component library that will serve both the designer, the user experience, and the product. But because if you don't do that, you have a problem. You don't fulfill the requirement of the company.
Right, because at the end of the day,
proper to actually build a component library and when it's not going to be necessary for what kind of projects?
Yeah, sure. So for my guidelines, this is opinionated and from my experience and others in my field, it's when you are the only member in the team. There is no designer. There is no UX. Yeah, you should take a well battle-tested design system or the component library that makes your life very easy. And sure, if you go to the guidelines that it's composable, that it's reusable and stuff like that, that it's well-maintained, it's great, okay? But if you are a product company, and basically when it's good, when you're doing internal tools, I think it's not so important. But when you're doing customer-facing tools, and you're doing innovation, you're doing new stuff, you have to build your own design system and your own component library. You cannot use, Microsoft cannot use a Amazon design system. Okay, this is won't be, and they cannot use their components. Maybe you have some kind of overlapping, like the button. And also the button is the most complicated component I found. Okay, in any design system, the button become the most a complex component to be found. And you said, we are lazy. Yeah. As developers, we are lazy. We want to give me the F button, yes? I don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
The...
Regarding that, I remember we had always problems, you know, when a big company is getting bigger, And, you know, you have like data silos, you have CSS silos, because a little team is doing something and they're like, yeah, you know, we need to move fast. And we did all these buttons by ourselves. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
There are the like 17 different buttons.
Yeah. Please use the library. We did the library. Yeah, but you know, we need to. And that's the whole problem.
Because you know what? If you have 17 different libraries, this is the least worst idea. What if you have a one button with 4,000 lines of code? I don't know what is better. Okay, 17 different buttons with 20 lines of code if each, or one button with 4,000 lines of code because you have switch case from here to I don't know where, because you have a lot of product needs, like this button should be this action, this button should be when I don't know, when the moon is covered by the sun, and this button should be when
I love the
when
invention.
Donald Trump
the
gets
designer
his
comes port. With the applications for the button that never existed before. It's like it's a button with a drop down.
That's yeah.
What
yeah.
You mean. Yes, also a button and also a drop down in the same yeah. the same place.
Yeah, there's some semantics. I remember like one of the earlier episodes that we had on FedBytes when Roman was still co-hosting with me, we had this whole rant about like dropdowns and what people call like the different UI components, right? There's also different component library called the same thing, different names, right? So there's also a naming collision here.
That's also but, how the designer calls something and how we call it.
Yep. Yep. There's kind of a different language that is spoken.
This is where composability comes into action. When I can compose stuff from different primitives, I can create whatever I want.
That's great.
Without the complexity of building something that, you know, it's out of this space, the space. This seems to me very, very weird. And also when you have, when things get out of control with, like the product said, I want the button with the dropdown, and now we have button dropdown. It's like you have a problem when the next product requirement comes, you make again button with dropdown because you forgot how the button with dropdown act, where it is, how to use it, and what is the scenario that you need to use.
Yep.
Exactly. So what will you say it's the to-go library for today, 2023? You start a new project?
So today, yes. So you're jumping the gun here because, first of all, you said that you hate Tailwind. Listen,
I'm a style components guy. When style components started, I was like in love. I built many things with them, with style components, but I don't get married with technology. Okay, it's fine.
I also don't care about what you choose. You can even go vanilla CSS, and you can drop every framework and go vanilla.
It's not about if you care. Your users don't give a fuck what you use, right? They want something
like
that works.
Exactly. It's like you said, Facebook didn't tell me what's the tool they are using. That it's only a tool. It's merely a tool. But why we are using Tailwind, not other stuff? Why? Because the atomicity of Tailwind. Because when I'm using a utility, it's declared once, it writes once. And also I can compose utilities, and the composition of the utilities, even without seeing the code and know what is the actual CSS. I need to know. I need to understand CSS, yes? But it doesn't matter what is the actual CSS, but I know that it will work great. As I imagine and as I write the code, I know that it will work in Chrome, in Firefox, in Opera, in Safari, and in Microsoft's.
And you also can know how it would look like by reading the HTML, right?
This is the byproduct.
That's
of
in
that.
The, like okay. In the 90s, man. Yeah, in the 90s.
No, but
so you can also read classes with Bootstrap. Also, you can read the classes.
Yes, wrapper container dot wrapper.
Yeah.
Yes. There Listen. Are a lot. You can read Adam Watton's 1,000 words about Tailwind and CSS, and this is a great article because he says exactly what you said. We did a lot of stuff. Like we did all the CSS, how you call it, that you put the underscore and stuff like that. We had a lot of conventions that we did to try to unclutter, but finally it didn't work. It doesn't scale. You, when the project get large, you said, okay, you know, leave me alone. I'm creating another class. Okay. So don't it's not, it's that, not, a,
don't you think that Next.js pushed, Tailwind forward, and that's why everybody likes it now? Because of
you feel
I don't know. I saw Tailwind in 2013, and I posted in JavaScript Israel, like in I did like 3 months of framework of the day. It took me like 3 months to cover the trending frameworks of the current year. That was in 2013, and I hated it. I hated it. Why? Because I'm a developer. I hate everything. Okay, everything you show me that is new that I don't know. I hate it. So it's not about the
and also
the new technology.
When you grow older, you hate more.
You hate more. It's familiarity. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's the familiarity of stuff. You
this
don't
is why
ha-
I
you
know
hate.
I learn.
Yeah, when you get familiar, this is what we need to practice ourselves: how to get familiar with stuff and to see if it works for us. Because we hate everything. I hate React when it came out. I hated React. I hated Next.js when it came out. Here I'm saying it. I hate Quick when it came out. Okay? I hate Quick.
That's okay.
It doesn't say anything. I'm just right? not familiar with Quick. I'm just
yeah,
not familiar.
Yeah, but then you get
I
your head,
did...
you know, on yeah. it and yeah. start loving it and saying,
yeah,
there's something here.
Yeah, it's like TypeScript. It. I hated TypeScript when I first
the
saw
same
it.
For me.
I tried to use it.
I still hate TypeScript. I still hate it.
No, but with
but,
the tools
but
you
the
have
benefits,
today, it's not stopping you. It's helping.
But, yeah, but the benefits is going.
Yeah.
It's much better than what you hate, what you think you don't
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah, but in the beginning, you see all the tools, the new tools, they stop you from from your velocity. So you have your own tools and you can build stuff really quickly, and then a new thing came. And you're like, oh, come on, and I need to learn this new thing. It's like, I hate it. But then you learn it, and then you have your velocity.
You try with it. You write the first thing, and you hate it. Then you write it again, and you said, I see when it what it does to help me. I move much faster. Then I write it again. Listen, this is crazy shit.
There's a technology that everybody uses that you really hate still today.
Yes, TypeScript. TypeScript, really? I think it's my TypeScript. It's my most hated thing in the ecosystem. But you cannot do anything today without TypeScript.
Hard.
Yeah, hard. It's hard. So okay, I'm losing a little bit of flexibility that I have in JavaScript. Okay, because I need to.
Live coding, you're doing it with TypeScript.
Yeah, and now I started to do with TypeScript also the live coding. So if in my last React Next lecture, you see, I did the live coding. You know where what's the one that got me confused there? It's to do template literate with class name, not using a CN like a tool that you compose class name, but to try to insert like a ternary inside the template literal. This confuses me. This confused me. You know, that was, like you said, this is the most simple thing. This eventually this confused me in the live code. I don't know why. But yes, but you cannot today without TypeScript. How you can do it? Because you are thinking about, first of all, you're thinking about your contract, and you're thinking about what you're returning, your return type. And this is much easier to develop software like that, and it's much easier than to expose it to other developers.
Right. You still need to know what you're doing, right? Because you don't want to because TypeScript lies a lot, right? And you can lie to yourself in TypeScript, and you can cause yourself some problems. So it's worth it. But I want to bring us
in. Copilot.
Let's bring
come
it back to our discussion.
To the component
come back
library,
to the discussion. Yes. So I have this quote. One of the reasons I also wanted to talk about this is I came across Ryan Florence's tweet, which stated, he said, "I love React, but the fact we haven't collectively landed on one or two component libs after a decade is surprising. Is it our fault, React's fault, or the web platform's fault? What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think you can understand. I don't agree with his statement. I don't
agree. You don't agree.
Like you said, no, I don't think it's like he said. Okay,
it's not a statement. It's a question. It's an open-ended question. It's three. He's asking whose fault is it, if it is at all.
No, he is redirecting you to think about that it's someone's fault. Okay, this is my take. Okay, we are driving cars for 100 years. We are driving cars. How we didn't come to two cars? Why we need so many cars, so many models, so many things? We need it. Okay, we are people. We need it. We need to differentiate ourselves. We need to do stuff that is different. Okay?
So it's different just for the sake of being different? That's why?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you are a product company, you don't want that your CRM will look like the other company, because then you're a commodity. So then you are starting to compete on pricing and not on value. Okay? So this is a huge motivation for that. So this is why companies should start always with why. And also when we are developing, we need to understand it also. There is a lot of psychology in development. Okay, what do you want to achieve? Do you want to supply the best user experience? Or do you want to make the least job as developers? Okay. And if you ask me, as a senior architect, I say that I need to do the most hard work. So the other developers should do the least hard work. Okay, this is how you scale the development. Okay, I need to supply them tools, and this is also what Builder does and what Quick does and what a lot of libraries trying to do, like React does and like Next.js does and Astro. But this is why you use those tools. Okay. So what is my go-to today, Leo, for your question from before? I think today my go-to will be Next.js, scaffold the project with NX tool, and add ChatCN and Tailwind CSS and ChatCN. ChatCN also used Radix as the primitives. It's a great, great, great collection of primitives. And also, in my opinion, Next.js and even Remix and even Quick and even Astro, they are only the platform to use primitives. Okay, so React will be the primitive. I don't care about React anymore. I care about Next.js a lot more, okay, than React.
Convention over configuration, you're saying.
Convention over configuration. It's like, get me out of here on how to start my project. Tell me how to produce the outcome, okay? A lot faster, because if I even React team said don't use React without a framework, this is not
now it's in the website.
Yes, so there is a lot of sense of it. A lot of people don't want to do it. They said, no, I will compose it myself. The one who said I will compose it myself never developed a product with millions of users using it. He never did that. Okay, he has he make 3, 4, 5, 10 a small, very small project, and he think that he can add Vite and 10 stack router, and that's it. Okay, I have it. Or React router, and I have it. No, you don't.
I remember some demos more from you years ago, not using even Create React App. You were like, why do you need Create React App? Do it by yourself.
Never. No. Yes, you are right. So I had a lecture that said, don't use boilerplate, okay? But I think the lecture is correct today also.
Today, yes.
today, yes. So, back then, no.
Yeah. So I said, I said, don't use Create React App. Do it with, use the tools that you have so you understand what you are building. Because Create React App is very opinionated, and all these boilerplates are very opinionated. And when you need to change something, you get stuck. Okay. So today, don't use a boilerplate, because those boilerplates is the same. They still confuse you. They think take you to another way. But frameworks are not boilerplates. I'm sorry. Frameworks are not so much boilerplates.
You think that we are in the point like 10 years ago, that every day a new JavaScript framework came? You think we are in the same place? You think that
we're every week a new component library comes out. That is, yes.
We're there.
Also a new framework.
Yes.
I just stumble upon a lot of new, a lot you of think new we need frameworks them? That doing the same.
And you think we need them?
Yes, sure. Sure, we need
but
them.
I think if something is working, why, you know, it's like, like the we need the faster horses, you know, like.
Yes, you need always. I tell you why, because.
This is about the standards again. This is the KXCD one, right? We have 14 different standards. Let's unite them all. Now we have 50 different standards.
Yeah, but we don't. This is also, in my opinion, this is also incorrect. We need them because without solid JS, React wouldn't get better. Without Quick, React wouldn't get better. So this push us to be better. Why we need to do stuff? Because we want to be better. Okay. So
that's true, but you know, but the Facebook team upgrade React during the years amazingly. So that's why we're using it today. You know, it's like how many.
Yeah, but you don't need the Facebook React. You can use Preact.
Totally.
Okay. Totally. You can use Preact and it's work. You can use a SolidJS with Astro and it's work. You can use Remix with Vue. So the primitives is irrelevant because now I have only the tool that helps me to be productive. And the underlying technology is not really important because
but it's important because if you're an architect and you need to go to a company and to say, okay, we're going to build this thing. And you know, you have many teams under you and they will have to, first of all, you need to teach them. When I came to Sisense, I bring React. They were using Angular. Rest in peace. And, and you know, it was a decision. And not only that, it was a decision. Okay, state management, it was everything a decision. And I think with years after that, you know, I chose, instead of Redux, I chose
Mobix.
Mobix. And it was painful. Still, I meet people today and they're like, Leo, I will never forget that you chose Mobix.
Mobix is a better choice. They would have hated you more if you changed Redux, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But in the moment, you know, I was like, okay, I have these unexperienced teams. They never saw this before. So Mobix was, you know, the learning curve was nothing. It's like worked like magic.
Yep.
And all Redux that you have learning curve. So why chose Mobix?
So Leo, do we need the new stuff? Do we need Mobix? Yes, we have to have Mobix. Why? Because it's more intuitive to use. I almost doesn't need to learn Mobix because how intuitive it was just to add it to a project and it worked.
Yeah, I agree. Testing was complicated, but that's another thing.
Yes, today we have better. We have better. We have Valtio that is much better than Mobix. So today, if I need to do something like Reactive, I will introduce Valtio. I will use Signals.
Signals from Preact, yeah.
Yeah. I will use Signals. I won't use Signals from Preact because I will wait. Signals will be an underlying technology in Reactive itself. But yes.
Not in React. It's going to be a web primitive, by the way. Did you see that TT39?
Great. Yes. Yes, it will be web primitive. This is also, always I said, I don't care about performance, yes, in double quote, yes, because I know the platform will catch. So the first array for each method was disaster to use. But it was today, it's not really much far than a for loop. Okay, only, or let's say not a for loop because we are calling to a function, so we have a little bit overhead. But in compared to other API that call to a function, it's really fast. Okay, so like iterators and array functions, they are equally fast. Okay, so the platform will take care of us. This is what I'm saying. But
so what you're saying is that the competition is moving us forward, going back to the, you know, UI libraries. But I don't.
Also,
so you're saying
discovering
that
new technology and even seeing a new UI library or a new design in Dribbble, this is inspiring you. This is make you like, wow, this is very beautiful stuff. You know, this is make you live. For me, this is make me like alive. Okay, let's try it. Let's do it. You know, here in Tikal also, we very encourage people to try it. We are doing a fuse day once in a quarterly. And in the future, we go get out of our comfort zone and use technology we haven't used. So this is also a good idea.
Something new.
Giving you to go out of your comfort zone. Always get out of your comfort zone. Always challenge yourself with that. And if we go back to the component library, so again, we want it to be reusable. We want it to be easy API to remember. We want to be composable. And we want also to that it will look beautiful, okay? So this is why we need also to push it forward. If ShadCN wouldn't come out, it won't push the industry forward.
You think it's going to be here 10 years ago? All these UI libraries 10 years ago. We're talking 2034, whatever.
10 years forward, you say 10 years forward, will it stay? No, it won't. It won't. Absolutely not. There is not one product company that has a code more than 3 years that is living in production. Every 3 years, the entire code is replaced. Okay, so, we have Dora Metrics, we have the state of the DevOps by Google. They make a research for the last 6 years, they see what happens. Okay, we measure it today, we see what happens. Things are changing.
Yep. Software is like a living organism, right?
So it doesn't matter what library you're using today.
It doesn't matter. Everything is evolved.
So we're going to the Rick-esque kind of philosophy. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we use.
No, it doesn't matter for the moment. But if you think for the future, it's like, okay, what this company is going to use in the future, maybe this library, doesn't matter. Just use it for the team today. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Empower the team today. It's not what you do and how you do it. It's why you do it. Okay? Why you do it. Why do I do it? Why do I try to architect my new project? Yeah. Why am I architecting the new project with the most easiest way? The most simple way to understand and to operate. Why do I do it? Okay? Because I want to empower my team. I want them to take this, and compose the new feature without thinking about all the complexity that you have behind it. And yes, more when we are advancing, more and more people that coming into the industry knows less and less about the primitives of the web. Okay.
True.
So is it good? Is it bad?
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, because the ones who want to get deeper in this will be more proficient, you know? They will lead. They will inspire. They will write the next tooling. The one that just want to use it, we need them. Okay, they are the one who build our products, so we need them.
Yep.
Amazing, man.
That
makes me think, because I always thought that you need to pick a library for the future. All the time I used to think like that. I need to pick this library because in the future we're going to... And now the paradigm is completely different. It's like, just use what the team is going to be comfortable today. Don't think about years from now. And that's
I used Zod as my form validator and my validator, and I'm switching it now to Valibot. Okay, I don't have to do it, but I'm doing it. Why? Valibot is better. Its API, it's much easier. It's much nicer. Okay, it has better tree shaking. Okay, I'm moving from Prisma to Drizzle. Okay, there are a lot of stuff is going on, and if Drizzle won't come out, Prisma wouldn't get better. Prisma 5 got better only because Drizzle ORM came out. This is 100%. I tell you, this is for a fact.
But this is that like also something that is sustainable over time. Like, okay, this new thing's come out, you move to that, but then why? The other product you use or library got better because a product like library Y came out. So why move at all? You know what I mean? Why not just upgrade?
It's a good question. Again, what? Yes. If it serves you well, just upgrade.
That's why.
It's a great point that you have. You know why? Because you need to see that you can upgrade, because sometimes you cannot upgrade.
Yeah.
Like if you want to upgrade from material UI 4 to 5, you cannot upgrade. You need to migrate.
You can't. Right.
So what is the difference between migration and building a new stuff? Okay. So it's also, it's always we have these trade-offs.
The problem is that companies, they want the product, and they sometimes they don't care about what's, you know, if it's working, don't touch it, you know, it's like leave it. And then you have this dead technology, this technology debt in your company. And then we came to the company, it's like, oh, okay, why we have this dead technology? So let's replace it. No, it's going to take time. Forget it. Forget it.
You know what you said now? Who in the company say to you, don't leave it, it works? Who in the company is saying that?
I will tell you names after that.
No, not names. who is that person? Who is this stakeholder who said to you, no, leave
usually
it?
Usually,
you know?
Product.
Yeah, but product shouldn't care about implementation details.
Exactly.
Product should tell you what the user needs. Okay.
They do.
They do. What do you use?
It's all about time. It's all about time. So you,
yeah, but this is not the implementation details should not even care about the product. Okay, this is something that this is the development team should be responsible on that, and it should reflect. The development team should reflect to the other stakeholder that there's going to be a debt here, and you know you have to pay the debts you are collecting.
You always got to pay the Pied Piper.
Yeah. So what do you want to do? Of course,
my
you have
dream
to
is to be update with the last technology all the time. It's impossible.
Right.
You can't.
But it's also part of the job, right? You got to kind of always update to kind of like induce the work you
think
have.
You can. And... yeah. If you think reason. You cannot, you said to me, you cannot be aligned to the latest of the technology. What happened if you have a vulnerability in Node 20? You need to upgrade to Node 22 and it might break your application. So this is your job.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the job of the developer.
Yeah. Security reasons, it's always a yes.
Not security.
Yeah. But you should say also debt. If we don't pay it now, we need to pay the interest.
True.
You need to know how to pass it forward. You need to know how to communicate with stakeholders. Oh. If you took with the financial guy, you need to tell him you will be paying 10 times more. If he said to you, okay, I'm taking it. It's for me, it's much more valuable. It's okay. Yeah.
So
but
here's
again,
the experience. If you are a small developer in a team and you want and something new come and you're like excited because it just is new, you need to talk with your manager and explain to him the benefits, the technical benefits of the technology, not because it's cool.
You don't need to explain it to him. You don't need to explain. You need to sell him the idea. This is much more complicated to explain him.
Yeah.
It's all about sales.
Yep,
always.
It's always about sales. That's what we like. Developers like to shun away from sales and the marketing and stuff, but at the end, you need to know how to sell your ideas. You need to know how to sell an idea of a POC or an MVP or something. You need to know how to say, yes, I want to use Tailwind because it's going to make like my team X times faster because we wouldn't have to maintain so much like CSS and have nesting problems and whatnot. We shouldn't use Material UI because when we want to do something that is more customizable, right? We won't be able to do it, or we're going to beat it with a hammer, like you mentioned, alone, and just stent it completely, and at some point it'll break, right?
Yeah. There is a great lecture by Mike Monterio. It's called 13 Ways Designers Screw Up Client Presentations. This is a must scene.
You got to get us all these links so we can put it in
name?
The show notes.
Yeah.
What's the name?
I'm sending now in the chat. So this is a great talk because you see that it's how you sell the idea to your manager and not how you are doing the best thing that can possibly be the best technology and the best
the
library that So it's a lot of psychology and a lot of communications and a lot of iterations. You need to know that software is iterable. It doesn't build in the first try. You cannot build anything good in the first try.
Unless you are me.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
No,
yes,
for sure. For sure. My Bible is make it work. Make it work first.
I don't need debugger with my code.
I don't write bugs. What do you mean? I just write code with no
with
bugs.
Others. Only with other codes. Other
I never people. Debug, but when I do it in production.
All right. I think we can bring it down and kind of see we go. So what are our takeaways from all this discussion? Like, so for when starting a new project, again, like in anything in software, what I hear is it depends. If you know what like your user base is going to be or how many people on your team, you might need to kind of think through what you're going to do. If you're a single developer, you might be good with just choosing Material UI. But if you're a team of three developers, maybe you would just want to start writing like vanilla CSS and write your buttons. And at some point, maybe later on, find a solution that better fits the needs of the evolving company. But in the end of the day, it's all what you need to do is serve your users, serve the business value you need to bring to your company. That is the most important thing. So it doesn't matter if you use Material UI or Ant Design or Daisy UI or Shad CN UI or Chakra or help me out. There's so many much more. What is the new one? Kendo, RPY.
Kendo, Mantis.
Yeah. Mantis. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's endless. But my take of here that if you are building a component library, make sure it will be reusable. It will be composable. That it will be, its API will be clean and very intuitive. Okay? And make it very customizable to your needs and stuff like that. And then make sure it's also accessible because you will need it. You need to be accessible. And when you do that, please use primitives like Radix. Use Tailwind CSS. Why? Because it gives you the confidence that the output will just work. Okay? And also your bundle size will be very, very small afterwards. And you will put away a lot of things that will come to bite you later. Okay? Especially with responsive design and with testing in very different devices. When I was in Playbuzz, for example, we need to support any device that exists in the universe. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. I used to have phone calls from the CEO. It's not working in my phone.
You cannot do it without tooling. So you cannot do it without to be sure that what code that you will spit out will work in Android 4 with Samsung, I don't know which one, which version. So this stuff is very important. It's not always. Use whatever make your work simple and other people simple to understand. This is my initial takeout, okay?
That's a great take.
For this.
Yeah, and also, don't worry, because in 3 years, you're going to replace it.
You will replace it even much more faster, because we saw that Moore's Law has become much more than multiply itself in every 6 months. But you will replace it much faster than you think.
Don't get in love with technology. That's what you say.
Anyway, and we're going to soon be replaced by AI anyway. So who cares, right?
What do you mean? I'm an AI right now.
Yeah, we're already replaced by it.
Awesome, guys. So I think on this note, this is a good time to end this conversation. Alon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so
Leo,
much.
Leo, always fun. Catch you in the next one.
Was a pleasure. Pleasure,
bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.